This is Radio 4.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome the four distinctive personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. Paul Merton, Derek Nimmer and Clement Freud, and Eddie Izzard. Beside me sits Miriam Jones, who keeps the score and also blows a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. This particular recording of Just a Minute is coming from Edinburgh during the festival. As usual, I will ask our panelists to speak on the subject I give them. They will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Let us begin the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject that Ian Messenger has thought of is Edwin, King of Northumbria. Would you talk that subject, if you can, in just a minute, starting now?
There is a school of thought that has it that dyslexia caused this non-sequitur.
Eddie is our challenge immediately. Yes.
Was that a hesitation?
I thought that was a hesitation, yes.
And, you look a bit pissed off, Clement.
Yeah. So, Eddie, you've obviously learned from your first time, and you're very sharp and keen, and you've got in with only 6 seconds gone. You get a point for a correct challenge. 54 seconds are left. Edwin, King of Northumbria, starting now.
Edwin, King of Northumbria, was a large man, over 9 foot tall. He lived in a tree and often played banjo on Tuesdays. But mainly Northumbria was his place. He liked to hang out there and run around and be king, because he was King Edwin of Northumbria. And he used to bowl...
Derek Nimmochan.
Used.
Yes, he used more than once. So, Derek's got in with a correct challenge. 36 seconds are left, Derek. Edwin, King of Northumbria, starting now.
He is, of course, the king after which Edinburgh is named. Although, more precisely, in New Zealand, they call it Dunedin, because that is the Gaelic pronunciation. He was an extraordinary man, born in Wales, and then became a great conqueror throughout the whole of Britain. Not only did he take Scotland, but he took everywhere except Kent, and he was converted to Christianity. What
Poor Merton.
Who's doing that?
There is a bit of sloppy dialect there. We kind of sort of sidled towards a few vowels, and it all went a bit wrong.
So what is your challenge?
A deviation.
Deviation from what?
The English language.
The English language as she is spoke. All right, Paul, I agree with your challenge, and you have a point for a correct challenge, of course, and there are 18 seconds left for you to tell us something about Edwin, King of Northumbria, starting now.
Edwin was, in fact, 10 feet tall if he stood on a one-foot-high stool. And he did an awful lot of this because he liked...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of foot.
Yes, he stood on a one-foot stool and he was 10 foot tall. Well, you'll listen to that.
Very mean, isn't it?
Let you go for a bit. I just was wondering about it. I just had to do a quick recall, you know. I just sort of run the tape back in my mind, and then it came back.
You've got a tape running in your mind.
And on the basis that all our minds are rather like superior computers. Clement, you have a correct challenge. 10 seconds. Edwin, King of Northumbria, starting now.
Was actually called Wendy, Queen of Northumbria. And Edinburgh was called Wensbury. All this nonsense about royalty.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle is blown gains an extra point, and it was Clement Freud, so naturally he's in the lead at the end of that round. Derek Nimmer, will you take the next round? The subject is shorts. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
There's nothing nicer, I think, in Edinburgh than wandering around in shorts with two chaps sitting on the front row wearing those very garments. I would like to wear them myself, but the weather was rather inclement when I started this morning. That's got nothing to do with Freud. I was talking about the temperature. But when I wear shorts, I do have rather skinny legs, and perhaps... it is a good idea to keep trying.
Clement Freud,
Charlie. Deviation.
Why?
Well, even if he doesn't wear shorts, he has skinny legs. The circumference of a part of a body is absolutely irrelevant to
the garment. It's a very clever interpretation of deviation, which we grant you, Clement, and you get a point for that. And 41 seconds to tell us something about shorts, starting now.
My favorite playbill is from the South World Cinema. Before the war, and it said, "The Seventh Veil with shorts." I've always been awfully fond of that.
More than the audience.
Yes, he was so fond of it, he waited and nothing happened. And, Paul, you have a correct challenge. 29 seconds, shorts, starting now.
In the 1930s, Laurel and Hardy became immensely popular because they were made a short film once a month for 12 months of the year.
And Derek Nimmo challenge.
Months.
No, the other one was months. Once a month, and the other one was months. Sorry, Derek, well tried, but incorrect challenge. Paul has another point. And there are 20 seconds shorts, Paul, starting now.
They won an Academy Award for one of these movies. It was called The Music Box. It consisted of the two of them trying to move a piano up a huge flight of stairs. The end joke at the right at the end.
Oh, it's a tough game, isn't it? Derek, you got in first, yes.
Well, has Desmond double N?
Yes, two N's. Yes. 7 seconds, Derek, shorts, starting now.
I went into a bar in Rose Street and asked for some shorts. I wanted a whiskey and a gin. The barmaid was quite helpful and kind to me.
Eddie Pound, just before the whistle.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was, I just thought two bars there.
Yes, there were.
Went to
the
barmaid.
No, I take that back.
You take that back. All right.
Extra point. Extra point for a wrong challenge.
All right, then. Extra point for a wrong challenge and a point for speaking when the whistle went. So we give him a round of applause. And Derek Nimmo's in the lead at the end of that round. Paul Merton, will you take the next round? The subject's bugs. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Bugs Bunny became very popular with a series of short films during the 1940s. Particularly one end joke right at the finale of one of these movies was a marvellous example of the visual sight gag at its finest. Bugs was walking down...
Clement Freud challenge.
I'm sorry. I'd forgotten that Bugs was...
Bugs is on, yes, you can repeat the subject on the card.
Apologies.
You've only been playing the game for 26 years, Clement, but it's it is very difficult sometimes. But because you interrupted him, Paul gets the point for that and continues with 43 seconds, Bugs, starting now.
When I was working in Australia some 5 years ago, I was plagued by a particular mosquito that used to get into my bed every night and bite the hell out of me. I would wake up every morning and saw this huge, bloated thing in the corner of the room filled up with my blood, mark you.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
There's no blood.
Yes, you've had a lot of blood taken from him. Derek, it's your turn to begin. 25 seconds, Bugs, starting now.
King Edward of Northumbria was actually smitten down by the most awful bug, which he acquired when passing through North Wales on Tuesday, the 15th of April, 1632.
Paul Merton challenge.
That wasn't a Tuesday, it was a Thursday.
Were you around?
No, it's one of my hobbies. Through the centuries, I know what day followed on what day. 16th of April, around about that time, was a Thursday.
How do I judge on that?
Well, why don't you run the little computer that's your brain?
It hasn't been programmed as far back as 1632. No points allowed. And Derek keeps the subject. 13 seconds left. Bugs, starting now.
I must say that Paul Merton...
Paul Merton challenge.
There was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation. 11 seconds for you, Paul, on Bugs, starting now.
One of the criminals who made an awful lot of money in the 1920s was called Bugsy Moran. He was a terrible fellow. He rivaled Al Capone and all those other crooks that grew...
Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, and he gained an extra point for doing so. He's now equal in the lead with Derek Nimmo. Eddie Izzard, your turn to begin. The subject, haggis. Will you tell us something about that Scottish delicacy in this game, starting now?
Haggis is a type of seabird that lives in Kent. It often plays banjo in trees, but very rarely is eaten as a Scottish delicacy, including things that sheep go... Yes, Mrs. And... My brain caved in. Sorry about that.
Well, he's sort of gone, hasn't he?
Yes, exactly. You brought him out of his world of fantasy back to Earth. I think, yes, he'd gone. Hesitation. 47 seconds on the subject of haggis, Derek, starting...
Haggis is quite rightly called the great chieftain of the pudding race. There is no finer...
Paul Merton...
Hesitation. I've never heard haggis called the great chieftain of the pudding race.
Yes, Robbie Burns.
It's true. With one simple slip, I've turned the entire audience against him. So he's a strawberry fool like the Prince Regent or something.
Rabbi Burns got a whole point. Yon chieftain of the pudding race, a set your peer of hoodia, hath a horned upon the statute.
I was just challenging that. Generally.
Yeah, that was Doric Scott's gibberish. Derek was right. He keeps the subject. And a point, of course. 42 seconds on haggis, starting now.
Heart, lungs, liver mixed together with suet and oatmeal and all put into the belly of a sheep.
Very extra... Clement Freud, challenge.
Pluck for a sheep.
The pluck? Well, I thought it was a stomach. Is a stomach a pluck as well?
Mm.
Is a stomach a pluck? But I suppose the stomach comes from the belly of the sheep. No, I think you are correct, Clement. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Why?
Well, the belly of an animal is the whole of his... The whole body of him is his belly, isn't it? It's not just the stomach.
It seems that this audience is an entire expert on haggis. Everyone here...
They should have this subject. Yes. We should challenge them.
Let them decide. If you agree with Clement Freud's challenge, you cheer for Clement, and if you disagree, you boo for Derek Nimmo, and you all do it together now. Even the Scots are divided amongst themselves. All right, Derek, what we do is we call it a draw. No points scored. You keep the subject. Haggis, 33 seconds, starting now.
I once went to a Burns supper in Kuwait, and the local chieftain was called El Jog. He was a shape of...
Paul Merton, challenge.
Repetition of chieftain.
Yes, great chieftain of the pudding
race. Oh, well, listen. Well done, you.
So Paul's got in with his chieftain. 30 seconds on haggis, Paul, starting now.
I like haggis quite a lot, and I eat it whenever I'm up here. There's a butcher near where I live back in London who also specialises in haggis, and it's a wonderful dish. I like giving it to people who don't know what's in it, because they say, oh, that's lovely, and then you tell them, they go, ooh, and you say, well, no, it's quite nice, you enjoyed it. They say, well, I suppose in retrospect I did. But if you'd given me the ingredients beforehand, I might have hesitated before I'd put my fork into this particular chieftain of all puddings. I believe that,
Derek Nimmo, Charles.
Hesitation.
Oh, he was going with such style. I think that was a bit sharp, yes. No, I'm going to give Paul the benefit of the doubt on this one and say, you have 3 seconds to go on haggis, Paul, starting now.
The undoubted thing about haggis.
Clement Freud, Charles.
We've had a thing before.
Yes, you did have a thing before. Yeah. Well, 2 seconds on haggis, Clement, starting now.
It is state-of-the-art awful.
So Clement Freud was speaking, the whistle went, gained the extra point. He's in third place, just behind Paul Merton, just behind Derek Nimmo's in the lead, and Eddie Izzard is coming up in fourth place. Clement Freud, your turn to begin the subject, swashbuckling. Can you tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now?
A buckling is a smoked herring, normally from Lowestoft or Yarmouth. Swash is a different matter altogether. Swashbuckling is a rotten, egregious, arrogant, mean, nasty way to intimidate other people. And it is unusual in this program.
Paul Merton, challenge.
Was there a sort of slight mispronunciation there?
I thought so. Yeah. It's unusualism in this program.
The hesitation there?
Well, that was my hearing as well, Paul, so I give you...
hearing aid.
Oh, you can't win with this lot, can you? Right. Paul, 40 seconds to tell us something about swashbuckling, starting now.
Swashbuckling was very popular in the 1940s in the movie houses. Stuart Granger, who recently died, was a prime exponent of this. But I suppose the chieftain amongst all swashbucklers was Errol Flynn. If there was a swash, he would buckle it without no hesitation at all. He'd be straight in there. In fact, he used to do it all the time. He'd go down to the shops, buy a newspaper, some milk, do a bit of swashbuckling, and then go home and see Mrs. Flynn, who was getting his breakfast ready.
Someone buzzed, but no light came on. Eddie, that's you.
No light.
No light's coming on, no.
Well, can't we just assume when the light doesn't come on that Eddie's challenge?
Yeah. I challenged because my light was faulty. I challenged on Flynn's, actually. There were two Flynn's.
13 seconds for swashbuckling with you starting now.
Swashbuckling is a great profession. I've often swashed and buckled and grabbed swords and run out into the street and tried to kill people with the sword because...
Paul Merton challenged.
No, I was going to. He said swords and sword. I was going to challenge on repetition, but he didn't say. He said swords and sword.
He
so
did indeed.
Thanks
for drawing our attention.
So yes. I do apologise for any embarrassment I've caused anybody
for that ridiculous challenge. It wasn't a ridiculous challenge.
I accept that profuse apology, and my lawyer will not be in contact.
But also, it helps you because you get a point for an incorrect challenge, Eddie, and you continue with 4 seconds on swashbuckling starting now.
Often I've grabbed things.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of often.
No.
Oh, he said
no.
After then. After. He said after.
Did you say after then?
Yes. I have no idea what I said, but what I've said, you were wrong.
I thought you said after, so the chairman's decision has to be final. And you've got 2 seconds to tell us more about swashbuckling, starting now.
It is a great thing to go out into the...
So, Eddie Izzard was then speaking as a whistlewind and gained that extra point. And, Derek, it's your turn to begin. Genoa, can you tell us something about that city or that subject in 60 seconds, starting now?
The Italian city of Genoa is in a wonderful position right on the northwest corner at the top end of the great toe of Italy. I like to think of the people that were born there, people like Christopher Columbus, for instance.
Clement Floyd Challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, there were too many people. Sorry, Derek. And Clement's got in with a point. And 47 seconds are left for Genoa, starting now.
Genoa is also the name of a sail, as in 40 years before the mast, during which one pulled it up and hoiked it down again, and a kind of cake mixture made without fat. Egg yolk, sugar, flour, and soda would be the ideal ingredients whereby to achieve a Genoa, which is then put into a Victoria sandwich and entered at Women's Institute Fete. Frequently achieving first prize or second, sometimes third or highly commended. Genoa is a city in Italy, which Derek Nimmer knows awfully well, being a world traveller. It's not one that I care for particularly because they speak Italian.
Paul, your turn to begin. Subject, pomposity. Will you tell us something about that? In just a minute. Don't look at me, please. I think you anticipate what Paul might say, starting now.
Pomposity is a mixture of two old words, pomp and osity. And perhaps the epitome of pomposity is Nicholas Parsons. He chairs this program like he's got some idea what's going on. He runs the computer in his brain, which to me, I think is probably more of an abacus than a computer.
Eddie Izzard, you've challenged.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought I got it then. Oh, right. He did things wrong.
He did things wrong, yes. Can you think of one thing he did wrong?
Oh, it was... I can't remember. I got it right. I know I got it. He repeated something that was... it was vague. Computer, yes, that's it. Thank you.
Computer. No, the second one was computer.
Well, that's it. Deviation from the pronunciation, as marked down in the book of fish.
Paul frequently does that, so we don't have him for that. So, a repetition of computer, was it?
Yeah.
All right. 43 seconds to tell us something about pomposity, starting now.
Pomposity is a big ploughing thing that lands...
Paul Merton challenge.
Ploughing?
Yeah. It's a mixture of ploughing and flowering. Mm. And it was a 14th century thing that nuns used to go around. And they used to build up their bodily fluids to an enormous amount. And it was part of the basic pomposity of...
Well, in that case, why can't I get away with computer?
Because that's rubbish. Oh. Well, I got an explanation for mine.
We give Paul, Eddie a point for his delightful explanation of his impossible word, and give Paul a point for the correct challenge. He takes over the subject, pomposity, 40 seconds, starting now.
I knew a man... Oh, funny. I suddenly sounded like I was doing bingo there.
Eddie, you challenge.
Baby crying in Shelley 14.
Oh, I just challenged for hesitation of mind thoughts.
That's right, hesitation, yes. That's
the microphone threw me.
Yeah.
Doing it again.
The microphone threw you?
Yes. It's an old English expression, Nicholas. Dating back to the 13th century.
Eddie, you have got a correct challenge, and you have 37 seconds to tell us something about pomposity, starting now.
Politicians often suffer from pomposity. They stand up in front of large groups of people and talk for hours and hours.
It's a tough game, isn't it, Eddie? Clement, you got in first, yes. Hours and 29 seconds are left. Pomposity starting now.
I think of all the professions who are unpompous, politicians rate very highly indeed. A pompous politician...
Derek, no challenge.
TVH, no, tremendously pompous.
I would agree with you, Derek, so you get the subject. 20 seconds on pomposity, starting now.
I'm an authority on pomposity because I'm one of the most pompous people in the whole of the British Isles. And I like being pompous.
Eddie, is our challenge.
Pompous, too pompous.
Yes.
Yes, pomposity is a subject, but you can't say pompous twice. Mm-hmm. 12 seconds are left. Pomposity starting now.
I've often stood up in front of large groups of people and been terribly pompous because my mother used to say to me when I was very small, only about 6 or 7 or 8 or 9...
Paul Merton challenged.
There was about 3 oars.
Yes, you...
I thought I'd be very clever there doing 6, 7... I thought I could go on for hours on this.
6, 7, 8...
I just thought, I could do numbers for hours. But then there was...
But you mustn't put an oar between each number.
Yeah, I'm only starting.
Okay. And if you have... Oh, you've got in, Paul, with 1 second to go on pomposity, starting now. Eddie. No, Eddie challenged before the whistle went.
Well, it's dragging. He was cruising.
You mean to tell me in half a second I've got halfway through pomposity and that's dragging?
Yeah.
All right, Eddie, half a second on pomposity starting now.
He hesitated.
Yes, he did, right. Clement Freud, you got a quarter a second on pomposity starting now. Yes, Eddie!
He didn't even think...
He didn't
right.
even start. All right.
I want it
You've
back.
You've got a fifth of a second on pomposity starting now. Hey! Williamson completely lost control of the points. Doesn't really matter. But according to her, Eddie Izzard is now in the lead. Eddie, it's your turn to begin. The subject is miracles. Will you talk on it just a minute, starting now?
Politicians often believe in miracles. They stand up and talk for hours or seconds about stuff that goes on, and I never really understood what they really know, bugger it.
Derek Nimmer, you challenged him.
Yes.
What for?
Well, hesitation.
Yes, of course, but I have to know. You might say it was something else, and I might not have allowed it.
I thought your computer was switched on, you see.
We're talking about my mind. There we are. 49 seconds, Derek, to tell us something about miracles, starting now.
Miracles, yes, that's rather a good subject, isn't it? One can think of the miracle of the Feast of Cana. I wish I could do that trick, you know, to get all that water and turn it into wine. How exciting, how profitable we. Probably it was 12.5%.
Eddie Izzard, your chance.
How exciting, how profitable.
Yes, well done, Eddie. Listen well. 36 seconds, you take back the subject. Another point to you. Miracles, starting now.
Miracles come in different sizes. Some are green and some are blue.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of some.
Some are green and some are blue, yes. And 32 seconds for you, Clement, to tell us something about miracles, starting now.
It does rather surprise me that when you turn water into wine...
Eddie, is our chance.
No, I take that back. It was just your style has a hesitation built in, which is...
which I mean, there's a gap between words.
Yes.
But can I say some gaps are more equal than others?
In other words, he has a more normal gap between his words than some of yours, Eddie.
Well, some gaps are gaps, and some gaps are sort of gaps and a bit more, you know, and I just thought...
So the chairman has to judge on this occasion. I disagree, Eddie. Yeah. So chairman keeps the subject. 28 seconds, miracles starting now.
And that particular miracle is replicated almost daily in restaurants where they turn wine into water. And no one ever seems to complain about it.
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation, it's not replicated if the wine's turning into water. If it was water turning into wine, it would be replicated.
A very clever challenge, yes. Reproducing what was done in the Bible on this occasion, it was reverse. So, well, listen, well, sorry, well,
it's a replication of a miracle.
I think it was a very clever interpretation
of
deviation. Paul has a point and 17 seconds on miracles starting now.
I woke up one morning and looked in the airing cupboard and there was a huge cake singing a Frank Sinatra song. I thought, this is extraordinary. I don't know any other piece of confectionery that could carry a popular tune. And yet, there it was. I then realised...
Right, so a very even contest. Eddie Izzard is still just in the lead, 1 point ahead of Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and 3 ahead of Derek Nimmo as we enter the last round. Cloud 9 is the subject, a good subject to finish on. Clement, start us off, 60 seconds, beginning now.
Some years ago, I picked up a piece of sheet music and saw that it was headed page 9. And then realized it was actually Paganini. And I have an idea that Cloud Nine is not totally dissimilar from that.
Paul Merton challenge.
The deviation, the subject's Cloud Nine.
Yes, it's not Page Nine, it's Cloud Nine. I don't think we've got onto Cloud Nine yet.
Well, give me a chance.
Well, you've had 15 seconds in this game.
Oh,
if you haven't got it by 15 seconds, you've deviated. Mm-hmm. So, Paul, I agree with your challenge. 45 seconds left. Cloud Nine starting now.
It's one of these phrases that people use to describe people whose feet perhaps...
Derek Nimmer.
Repetition of people.
Yes, that's right. 40 seconds are left. Cloud Nine starting now.
I am always on Cloud Nine when I'm in this beautiful city of Edinburgh. Having my haggis for breakfast, lunch, dinner, tea, every possible meal available, wandering around the Royal Mile, smiling faces, looking at kilts, tartaned everywhere, little hats, pretty old ladies, grass on the meadows, and of course the fringe. And what do I see at the fringe? I see Mr.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of fringe.
Yes, you mentioned the fringe before, but the 16 seconds, Paul, you've got in with... on this subject, Cloud Nine, starting now.
My hobby as a child was collecting clouds, and I would number them and keep them in my bedroom. My favourite, undoubtedly, was Cloud Nine. Cloud 8, not so sure about. Cloud 11, there, but not really. But Cloud Nine was the one...
Well, as I said a moment ago, that was to be the last round, and now I give you the final score. A very close-run contest again. But just to mention, Derek Nimmer finished in fourth place, 1 point behind Clement Freud. He was 1 point behind Eddie Izzard, and just ahead of Eddie was Paul Merton. So this week, he is our winner. It remains for me to... thank our 4 intelligent and talented panellists for the contribution they made to make this such a delightful show. I thank also Miriam Jones, who's kept the score and blown the whistle so well, our creator of the game, Ian Messiter, our producer, Sarah Smith, and for me, Nicholas Parsons, and all of us here, to this lovely audience on the Fringe in Edinburgh. Thank you very much, and to We're on the Air and playing Just a Minute a Game, goodbye!
That programme can be heard again on Monday at 6:30. At the same time next Saturday, the Just a Minute team will be Clement Freud, Tony Hawkes, Hugh Dennis and Kit Hesketh-Harvey.